The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live the views expressed from in the previous West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, February 25th, 2018. And 10 seconds into the show, it's a lie because we are not in West Babylon, New York. We are in our brand new wonderful studios in Merrick, New York. Gary Harding and John Panarese with you for the next 2 hours on Sports Talk 1240. It was a nice long trip here, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little longer for me, you know, coming from Huntington, But we are in our new studios. Brian is on the other side of glass as always, and it should be an interesting 2 hours. We are going to, in the first few minutes, we are going to have Mark Parrish, former New York Islander and currently part-time pregame and in-between period guest on the MSG Networks. Going to talk about the state of the Islanders as of right now, obviously with the trade deadline being a little under 24 hours remaining. A few big deals have been made already. The Rangers dumped a lot of salary and got a lot of players in return, and we'll talk about that in the second half hour of the show. At 9:05, we're going to have Brad Kurtzberg from the Hockey Writers talking on the deadline and some other sports news. And at 9:30, we will have Peter Schwartz from CBS Radio putting his take on the Islander situation as well as some of the news about Belmont and other things. So, John, interesting couple of days, you know, if you're an Islander fan.
Yeah, interesting. Still steaming after last night.
Yeah, that was a tough loss. Kyle Palmieri 2, New York Islanders 1. Another third period. I won't call it collapse, I'll call it disappointment.
Just disappointment. I mean, lack of killer instinct. I mean, Al Arbor used to say it all the time, and I hate to keep bringing it up over and over again, but you play 40 good, pretty good minutes of hockey, put them away. Put them away.
Yeah, and the way they were playing in the first 40 minutes defensively, I thought they did a tremendous job.
They only had two giveaways, I think, as of the 15-minute mark in the second period. They only had two recorded giveaways.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we'll definitely ask Mark that as a former player. I'm sure we'll get some good insight. But obviously, you know, a lot of things to talk about New York sports-wise. Of course, the Major League Baseball season preseason has started, and of course, New York Mets have injuries. Wow, what a surprise!
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was nice to see that UNSS came out and said, "I'm not going to play golf anymore. I'm going to concentrate on yoga." And, hey, hit one out of the park today.
Yeah.
Mets 1-10-5 over the Florida Marlins. But then again, I think you and I could beat the Florida Marlins the way things are going. But let's put the over-under up. How many home runs do you think the New York Yankees are going to hit this year? It's gonna be quite interesting.
I think they're going to hit more home runs than the American League combined, probably.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what was a great insight, though? You know, again, and I'm not a Yankee fan, but I actually heard the interview that WFAN did with Aaron Boone, and one of the big comments I took out of it is Giancarlo Stanton comes to the Yankees, and obviously big contract, big expectations, a lot of stuff going on. You expect him, you know, he's, I guess, expected to, you know, have to try to stand up a lot more and try to be the man, and you know what, Aaron Boone just told him, hey, look, dude, this is your first year here. Don't take everything on your shoulders. Just be yourself. You know, it's amazing to have to tell somebody that. But, you know, that with that type of a ball club, he can. And you know, imagine what the sky is once he gets comfortable in the Yankee system.
No, forget it. I mean, you know, the thing that's going to be interesting is him adjusting to New York. I mean, you're under the microscope.
You think?
You know, so it's going to be different than playing in Florida.
Right.
So that's the one thing that's going to be interesting to see, you know, how he adjusts. Some guys, they do well and they blossom. And they flourish, and other guys, it becomes a real, it gets in their head.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. You know, and obviously, going back to the Mets situation, the Mets signed Jason Vargas as another starting pitcher, a left-hander, which is, again, a good thing they could use to give help with Steven Matz. But, of course, Zach Wheeler came out and made some comments to the fact that, you know, why are they going out and getting another starter? But you know what, Zach? You haven't pitched much in 2 years. Just prove your point.
Prove. You know, what you look like last season, wow me. And you can make a statement like that.
Right, exactly.
No offense to the guy, because I can't pitch worth a damn, but still.
I don't know. I've seen you chuck the ball. You've got some good accuracy. Can you get it up to 85?
I don't know. Maybe 20 years ago I could.
Okay, maybe 85 metric, okay?
Yeah, well.
So 85 kilometers an hour instead of miles per hour. Yeah. But that's all right. Hey, you know, junk bowlers can work too in the major leagues. So, obviously, a lot of things that are happening, you know, let's just talk before we get Mark on. Mark should be calling in a minute or so. The Rangers dumping Michael Grabner to the New Jersey Devils. First time the Rangers and Devils have ever made a trade.
Right. Amazing.
Grabner was leading the team with 25 goals, you know, and an unusual type of year for Michael Grabner because I think almost all, if not all, of his goals were 5-on-5. You know, this was a guy for years in the Islander system and playing with the Toronto Maple Leafs was always a major threat on the shorthanded
PK.
On the PK situation, but all his goals were 5-on-5. And I really thought that he turned a corner this year and was doing very well with the Rangers and fit in well in their system. But obviously, you know, the end of a contract year and, you know, it's possible that he was looking to, you know, be going a different direction. And I think he'll fit well with the Devils, you know, for this.
For the stretch run.
But our guest is on the line. So without further ado, let's bring in former New York Islander and current MSG host, Mark Parrish. Mark, it's Gary and John on Sports Talk 1240. And thanks for joining us this evening.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. Obviously you've obviously seen the last couple of games towards, you know, as we're getting towards the trade deadline, and obviously at this 20 game watermark of the season, a lot of things are going on. A lot of I'm sure a lot of players are under trepidation. As a former NHL player yourself, just take how about taking us through the mindset of a player at a trade deadline, whether he's comfortable in a situation or feels that somehow he could be involved in a trade deadline. What is the psyche of a professional athlete at this time of the year?
You know, for a guy that has been
Mark, you're just going to have to repeat your question. Like I said, we're still having a little trouble on our phone line, so. Are you moving?
Nope.
Okay,
nope.
That's better. Sorry about that. We're, like I said, we're still getting the kinks out here.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, no. You got me now?
Yeah, you're a little better. Thanks.
Okay. Trying to play through it for you guys. It's something you can. It's hard hearing yourself in rumors. You get phone calls from other teams that they're hearing rumors that their team's going after you. You just got to focus, and that's really those moments where you earn your money on being a professional. You've got to just put that out of your mind and go out there and do your job. It's out of your control. That's the one thing about trades that sometimes gets forgotten in the public eye and with fans is that we have no say over it. There's a very few players that actually have no trade clauses. And even in those moments, they can still be strong-armed and they can give a short list of things happening. But at the same time, it's just you just keep focusing on yourself. You can't control anything outside of that. You don't know which way the team's thinking. You can guess, and that's one of the things you learn early on when you play in the NHL is if you want to try and figure out what's going on with the management or what the GM or what they're thinking, you're just going to lose a lot of sleep. You just forget about it. You control what you can and move on.
That's still got to be a tough situation, though. Human beings being human beings, but, you know, getting to the point of the Islanders and the Islanders situation, just in your opinion, you know, having, you know, watched the team this season and knowing the history of the team, Do you foresee anything really happening for the Islanders that would shock you as far as before 3 p.m. tomorrow?
No, the only thing that would really shock me is if the Islanders really made a big move where they gave up anything. The future looks too bright right now. It's easy to get hung up on the here and now, and I understand it for fans. Everybody wants to win and make the playoffs right now, as does the ownership and the organization. Everybody wants to win, but you can't jeopardize the future over something that maybe will get you into the playoffs and might maybe win a couple of series. You've got to be very careful nowadays in the salary cap era, where you don't hamstring yourself on going for it maybe a little bit too early. I mean, if they can add someone that can add just not for the immediate future or the immediate present, I should say, but the future as well. I mean, if you can add a number one defenseman as long as he's going to be around for a couple of years, well, then great. Or if you can add a number one goalie or a number one centerman, if you can add those fixtures, that's great. But for the Islanders right now, to do it on just a rental is just a waste of time. Yeah, and they're exposing themselves for something in the future.
Just in continuing in that fact, looking at the last couple of games, obviously, you know, a tough loss in Toronto on Thursday night and a tough loss,
yep,
a tougher loss on last night in New Jersey. The team is obviously, I think, shaken off the fact of having the 49, 50 shots a game mentality, and their game has gotten better. But looking at it as a former player and someone that's got a lot more on the game than we do, does it seem like sometimes in you know, when a team is struggling the way they do, that they're maybe squeezing their sticks a little too hard, especially when they're in a situation where they've got a lead and they just don't seem to have, as John and I were talking before the air, like a killer instinct in this case, especially in the Devils game, because it seemed like they were totally dominating the play the first 40 minutes, and then after like the 10-minute mark, it just seems like they let go a little bit.
You know, absolutely. Confidence is such a fragile, fickle thing, and you need it, and sometimes it's harder for a team or the players themselves to realize how good of a team they are as much as even the fans or those in the know, the quote unquote experts that watch the game. I truly believe the Islanders right now is they I don't think they really believe how good they are, and that is, or understand how good they are, because that comes with youth, and that's their young decor. Some of their young decor, they don't really realize what they can do night in and night out, and that comes with experience. And That's why I say, yes, it's easy to get frustrated that the Islanders are fighting for a playoff spot. And on paper, yeah, they should be doing better. And those of us that watch the game and know how much talent they have in that locker room, like, well, they should be doing better. They should have more points. But that just comes with experience. That's the patience it takes to create not just a winning atmosphere, but a winning organization, a winning team, and creating that pride. And like I said, the atmosphere, with the risk of sounding redundant, it just takes time for them to actually, for the players on the ice to come together as a group and realize, like, you know what, we have it right here. It's within us. Now we got to prove it to ourselves, let alone once you prove it to themselves as a team, then it's easy, because then the wins will come.
And that's a great point. And I've you know, it's kind of a difficult situation that you have all of the Islander defense, the prospects, so to speak, you know, Ryan Pollock and, you know, Scott Mayfield and Adam Pell. All these guys are kind of having to learn on the job all at the same time. And
yep,
you got to be patient with them. And it's like everybody wants them to pull a trigger and make a trade and bring over a top pairing defenseman. And just like you said earlier, you don't want to mortgage the future just on, yep, you know, trying to go for it, you know, in one shot. So I think that's a great point. But let me throw a name out to you, Mark, and what your opinion, what your feelings of what you've seen out of him this season, because this kid just blows my mind anytime he touches the puck. I can't see the games, but man, oh man, do I get out of my seat. Matthew Barzal.
you know, I was excited being a not only just the former Islander in me, but this kid coming out of Seattle and out of the Western League where I played a year, heard it this summer, and Russ Farwell, the GM out there, was like, you know, I think he's kind of got a chance of maybe making the club. Kind of got a chance of making the club.
Oops, we're losing you, Mark. I think we lost you again, Mark. You there?
Uh-oh.
It's a little tough hearing you. But you were saying about Matt Barzal, obviously.
Like you said, you don't have that rookie. There's very few guys that change their respect when all of a sudden you're on the edge of your seat when he touches the puck.
Right.
He's on my superstar already. He's just going to get better and better. Nobody's telling me to rookie because he doesn't understand that he doesn't know, and that's awesome. It's so much fun to watch. He's so dynamic. He's already gaining so much respect from the other team. Just players like that, and what makes me most excited about him, Matthew Barzal, is John Tavares is a very smart hockey man, a very smart hockey player. He understands that him right behind him takes so much pressure off himself. Now all of a sudden, he doesn't have to be the man every single night. He has other options. He's not going to... I was John Tavares. I'm not going to speak for him. I don't know him that well. But that's what you're looking for. Like, if I want a team built around me, I want players that take the pressure off me, and that is case in point. And that's another reason where I don't want to see Snowy go out there and risk the future, because, well, that's what Tavares is looking at too. If you want to re-sign Tavares, yeah, that'd be great. You go for it this year, but then all of a sudden you take away the chances 2-3 years down the line, which is just as important to Tavares and the Islanders organization as this year.
Right, and actually, talking about Tavares is just where I was going to lead on. Obviously, you know, I'm not going to talk about the contract situation. He said all along, and I totally believe that he didn't want to deal with any of it, and he wanted to leave it to the end of the year. And he said it from day one, and I totally believe it. But can you, looking at his game the last couple of games, it just seems to me that the pressure is seeming to mount a little bit. And obviously, going to Toronto, the hockey hotbed where you got 95 people probably on his ears listening to his every word and trying to get comments out of him, I'm sure the pressure has got to be incredibly unbearable. And to me, being the fan I am and not playing the game and understanding him, but it seems to me like he's another one that's unbelievably trying to squeeze a stick too hard or trying too hard. What can someone say to a guy like John to just tell him to just enjoy the moment and play his game? I know he's got to have that in his – he's got to have all these things in his mind.
Yeah, see, and I'm going to bring that up. I'm kind of arguing this where they don't want to be distracted. They just want to – they want to play hockey. They don't want to talk about a contract and that. They'll worry about it later. And I have always felt that in doing so, that almost creates vacuum. You're putting more pressure on it. You're creating more of an opportunity for media and other teams, organizations, to talk about it, as opposed to just dipping in the mud. Hey, let's just get it done with. Or, you know what? No, I don't want to. So I understand it, and I've also been around long enough so that no, it does not need any inhibitions.
Right.
Not one bit. But I've always kind of felt that in a way, when people want to just move to something, it actually puts more emphasis. It forces them to talk about it. It forces it not just on the back burner, but right in the front of your mind, because then everybody's talking about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, let me change gears a little bit. Looking at the last, you know, we got about 20 games left in the season to go. From your experience, and you've been down the road as an Islander, and I was a big fan of yours when you were playing here. What would you tell the guys in the locker room to, you know, we're trying to get this last playoff spot. What would be the advice you would offer the team right now, how to play the last 20 games of the season?
You know, it's that time of year where young or old, everybody should be worried about, and this isn't a fear tactic. This is a guy that's just played in the NHL. This is a point where you've got to realize you're playing for a job. Do you want to be here? Do you want to be somewhere else? This is a point where not only are you playing for a job and trying to create that niche, but also if you want to be part of this team, well, where do you want this team to go? You've got to have some kind of character. You've got to have an identity as a team. So if that's where it is, like, this is the point of the year. Whether you're in the playoffs or not, you focus on the process. You focus on yourself. There are certain times now, especially in the playoffs, when you're talking best of seven, you need to focus on the other team and the ins and outs and really know them like the back of your hand. Up until that point, the most important team in the league is your own, and perfecting your team and finding that absolute perfect team chemistry that you can. So if it's looking for a job for next year, like a lot of the young guys, or if you're a core guy that wants to win, as 90% of the players should be, or just say if you're an older guy, if you're just trying to hang on, if you're just trying to stick it out for another couple of years, well, you still be better playing your best hockey. So regardless of what your personal values are, you should be right now focusing on being the best hockey player on the best hockey team that you can be, because if you're thinking anything else, you're just hurting your own career.
Absolutely. So listen, before we let you go, we're going to totally change gears here, because we know, obviously, you know, you being Minnesota born and bred, that part of the country is probably the biggest curling supporters in the country. And we got to say, I know from a fact that there's a few curling clubs here on Long Island. And supposedly the interest and popularity in here has, like, quadrupled and quintupled since last week with the great run by Mr. Schuster and the rest of the men's curling team. Tell me, from what you've been seeing and hearing and stuff, and I know you've been tweeting about it, but should we all be getting curling mad or what?
It's in my veins all of a sudden. Like, I haven't said it since I was like 12, and I feel like I'm 100% addicted. Like, it's ridiculous. I've been talking, you know, luckily enough, radio show in the morning, and their radio show. So I've been talking with them, and then through Twitter, and I actually got their numbers. And I mean, don't tell them I said this, but I could not believe I was up until 3 in the morning watching curling.
Exactly.
And I was into it. I mean, I was into it. I love it. That's what's great. You know, that's what's great about the Olympics. It brings sports. It crushes genres and people, and man, it's been so much fun watching these guys, and I'm telling you, I cannot wait for them to get back so I can go curling.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, I saw a lot of comments you were making about the women's game, and I was one that I stayed up for. It was, I honestly say that was probably one of the best hockey games I have seen in 30 or 40 years, men's or women's. I mean, the play was tremendous.
The defensive zone, the offense, the little things, the battle. I was impressed when I was lucky enough. Watching it in 2002, obviously 98, but then 2002 in Salt Lake, and then 2006 being there and going to the women's games. It was so much fun to see that intensity, and just seeing now, in just 12 short years, how much further it's come along. Way more exciting. There was that game couldn't be touched by anything in the men's league. And I know that the German and the Russian game, not even close, was the same intensity. It wasn't the same game. It was awesome. And I actually, my wife had to stop me twice from waking my daughter up to watch that game. I wanted her to watch that game. It's like, no, you can watch it tomorrow. Oh, it's not gonna be the same thing. Come on.
Oh, that's fantastic. Listen, Mark, we appreciate you coming on. For anybody that doesn't follow him on Twitter, it's @MarkDParish. And again, we We thank you for welcoming the studios. We're sorry that, unfortunately, some of the comments, we couldn't hear everything, but we got the gist of it. And, again, we thank you so much for coming on. And I'll definitely try to catch you when you're in March for the couple games working for the Islanders at the Bark.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. And yeah, let me know. I'll come back on when we get the whole the technology thing figured out.
Yeah, well.
Talk about his career a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Listen again. Thanks again, Mark. And have a great night.
Thanks, guys. You too.
All right. That was Mark Parrish again. We apologize for the situation with the telephone contacts. We're trying to work on it. It's like I said, it's a new studio, it's a new thing here, and
we'll get it worked out.
But again, Mark was great with the comments, and you know, I didn't get into it with him, but obviously there was a situation where I guess he saw some comments on Twitter where, you know, some of the fans were, you know, obviously the situation regarding the billboards and stuff. And you know what, we'll you want to take a break, Bri? Yeah, we're going to take a break, pay a couple bills, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the billboard situation and other stuff in New York sports. Gary Harding and John Panarese with you until 10 o'clock on Sports Talk 1240, live from the new studios in Merrick, New York.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
And we're back on Sports Talk 1240. Gary and John here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. Brad Kurtzberg from the Hockey Writers will be on at 9 o'clock. Peter Schwartz from CBS Radio at 9:30. So for the next 20 minutes here, we'll be chatting. We normally would take phone calls, but like I said, with the new studio and situation, we won't be doing that tonight. But definitely there were two things that I wanted to get into it with John. The first... you know, these comments may tick off some Islander fans and, you know, that have been involved and been supportive of it. But, let me just get into it, John, and then I'll let you, bring commentary on following it. About 2 weeks ago, there was a, GoFundMe page that came out, and that GoFundMe page was to get enough money raised in order to put a billboard up on the corner, I believe, of Flatbush and 6th in Brooklyn. Basically, with the lines of, you know, or basically the opinion of Gar Snow must go. These fans not only raised the amount of money, but they raised enough money that they decided to wish to take the remainder of the money and provide it to Anders Lee's Jam Cancer in the Can charity. And, of course, a couple of days before the charity event happened, Anders Lee put out a note saying, thank you for the offer, but I can't, in good conscience, take this money for what it's being raised for. And I will say, first of all, being involved with the with this charity from the Booster Club last year, we were a major sponsor. We donated over $6,000 to this cause. We donated $1,000 again this year. I am very supportive in what Anders Lee does for this charity, and I am very, I have a great deal of respect for Anders for what he did. I will say to this, and I don't want to make this as a, you know, being on a perch type thing, but I will say that, you know, fans have a right to feel how they want to feel. Okay, and the, most of the people are on a board that is basically called an uncensored board, and they have a right to say and feel how they want to feel, and I really respect that. You know, I mean, there are a lot of times where I'll disagree with what people think about certain certain players or thoughts on certain players or trades or whatever, but you know what? People do have their right to an opinion, and of course, we have that First Amendment right, and I totally agree with it and support it, but if people think putting a billboard up is seriously going to have an organization that's got a net worth of $400 million and a lot of people's hard work invested in it are going to say, oh my God, these 50 fans really want the GM gone, that we must listen to them and do it. If they really think that that board, that that 20 foot by whatever piece of cardboard that's up hanging off a building on Flatbush Avenue is going to make John Ledecky, Scott Malkin, and the rest of the Islanders ownership feel they must fire Gar Snow. Not only are they delusional, but they've got to be out of their freaking minds. John?
You know, it's, you know what, the Islander fan base is, you know, you can't argue the point that they're among the most passionate and dedicated fans, and let's face it, we've been through so much nonsense over the history of this team, particularly after the Stanley Cup years.
We could be on for 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, the frustration level I understand, and you know, especially the way the team kind of been cycling, and we've, you know, we got back to the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, like Gary said, I respect the right of people to express their opinions, but sometimes you got to take a step back. And you got to look at the big picture, and you know, for I've read so much stuff about the criticisms of Garth Snow and what he has not done and what he's failed to do, et cetera, et cetera. And I think people have to kind of take a step back and kind of flip the coin around and look at what he has done for the organization and what the long term prospects and what the team, you know, this talent base that we have, this locker room of guys like, you know, Matthew Barzal and you know, and Anthony Beauvillier. This is Garth's doing. The defense core we have is Garth's doing. You know, and you could say, well, Tavares, well, that was a no-brainer. Anybody could have drafted him, but still, it was Garth's doing. And, you know, I understand the frustration, but the only people who are going to make the decision, should it ever come down to Garth Snow losing his job, is going to be John Ledecky and Scott Malcolm and the ownership of this team. Not what fans put up on a billboard, not what fans chant. You know, it's just not going to happen. When the ownership, if the ownership ever feels that they need a change in direction or whatever, that's what's going to happen. And let me just throw out a question to everybody to finish. Just some food for thought for everybody out there. If, for any reason, Garth Snow is fired by the end of the season or shortly after the end of the season, what do you think the prospects of JT signing long-term are going to become then? Just think about that.
That's absolutely right. You know, and again, everybody knows my thoughts on the – if anybody can see on the Sports 1240 website that sees the camera into the studio, they realize that I'm wearing, again, my Josh Bailey jersey. And obviously, Claire and I, my wife and I, we have a personal connection with Josh, and obviously we were absolutely thrilled on Thursday when he signed his contract extension for the next 6 years. And everybody's saying, oh, well, he's not going to sign. They should trade him right away. I know, John, you've had arguments with your cousin, Ralph, who's called this studio many times before. And, you know, there's a lot of people that just don't think he deserves what he deserves.
He deserves every
but
penny he
could. The one thing I will say again we've had Garth on this show a number of times. I've, you know, talked to him on a number of occasions, you know, outside of a hockey, you know, generated facility or, you know, whatever. And he always is, he's proclaimed himself, not proclaimed himself, but he's always been the type of person that wants to commend quality. You know, obviously the people in his organization, you know, the players that play for him, the attitudes and the way they express themselves, the way they act, you know, is very important to him. You know, that's why, you know, you never see a guy like Evander Kane or that type of a player, you know, when his rumors have come up, you know, nothing's ever happened. You know, I'm sure there's been talk, but I don't think that's the kind of a guy that Garth would want.
Yeah,
and Josh, you know, if you remember the story, he traded down twice because he thought Josh Bailey was a quality human being and a quality player and knew that he could have the potential to be something. Yeah, I think a lot of the coaching decisions and a lot of the growth development for Josh was kind of, I don't know.
It was bad timing.
It was bad timing.
You know, the
it was
the
bad,
turmoil,
bad
right.
placement, you know, situations. And he never got his chance like the Kyles and the Matts and those guys got. And when he got his chance, he took it and ran with it, and it's worked. And as you said in the car on the way to the studio, obviously, if they didn't sign him and he went into the free agent market, you know, the way things work out, the timing, the way that things work out, he was in a situation where he was going to command top money.
Yeah,
you know. I think an average of $5 million a year is an incredible, incredible
discount.
You talk
about hometown discount.
For a guy that's doing what he's doing.
Right.
I guarantee you some team, if he went to full-term free agency come July 1, would probably put at least, I would say, $7.5 million up on the table for him without question.
Right.
And I think he's deserved it. But now the question is, was that hometown discount a way to say, look, I'll gladly take $5 million instead of six or seven if that's going to get the uniform number that's on your body right now, John,
yes,
to sign an extension? And you know what? Just to say, and, you know, and so many things have been coming out of the woodwork. He said all along, in the beginning of the season, that he doesn't want to talk about the contract. He doesn't want to talk about it at all during the regular season. He wants to let his play determine it. He said he'll talk about it at the end of the season with Scott and John once the season's over and discuss what's going. And obviously, you knew that certain issues had to be in the forefront for him to say in the back of his mind, yeah, you know, I think that's going to work. Number one, the arena situation. Obviously, right. He knows if he's going to sign long-term that eventually Barclays is going to be gone. The Coliseum will be back to a temporary home, and Barclays is going to – the Belmont's going to be the future home. Obviously, he knows in the back of his head that's a plus. Two, obviously, the situation of what's going on with the team. You know, the trade situation – you know, who's going to sign? I'm sure Josh Bailey's contract had to be a point of order,
right,
in his consideration.
Right.
So that's got to be another thing. Three, you know, comments have been backhandedly been put to the way the Barclays Arena is. You know, we don't really care for it. I know the players don't really care for it. They're not saying it in public, but you can read between the lines, can't you?
Nah, easily.
So you know, you know that's got to be a play into it. So, you know, if you're a betting man, and I'm you know, sometimes a betting man, you know, I know Arthur Staple has said 60-40 on some shows. You know, I've heard other people say 50-50 on some shows. I think it's a little better, but I'm not opening the door completely yet, because of obvious things, I won't. But I really believe, looking at a player's attitude, the way he presents himself, the way he is, you know, if you see, like, you know, like the beginnings thing with John Tavares and stuff like that, you know that kid is not going to BS people.
No.
He's not that type of a human being. Exactly. He was brought up fantastically.
Quality person.
Exactly. So I really feel when he said, I'm not thinking about it or talking about it until April, he's not. Yeah, I'm sure the agents have talked to Garth, and I'm sure Garth has talked to them, and there's been some conversation going back and forth. No doubt about it, but I think he hasn't. But I think the problem, and the fortune of the way the schedule works, you know, less than a week before the deadline, they're playing in Toronto. And you know how Toronto can be with the media and everything else.
Shark pool.
I'm sure. And again, you saw it. I saw it in the third period of the game. He was out there too long in overtime. He was out there way too long at the end of the period. The third period last night against the Islanders, I think he was exerting himself way too much, putting himself out there, two long shifts, and it's showing. Obviously, the pressure's got him out. And I couldn't imagine what the pressure is like for a kid like him. But I still think, come the end of the day, that I think that next year, come around, number 91 is still going to be around.
I think I'll be wearing the same jersey at this time next year. I mean, there's always a possibility, but if I was a betting man, and I'm not, just like you said, I'm not really a betting man, but I would put money personally that I will be wearing the same jersey.
You're wearing, yeah, exactly. And I'm proud of
February 25th. 2019.
Yeah, exactly.
John Tavares will still be in New York Island.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we'll say, you know, sometime after July.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fine. But let's go to another topic for now. We got some time before Brad comes on a little after 9. Obviously, we talked with Mark Parrish before about the women's gold medal game between the U.S. and Canada. Obviously, we know that this is the fifth Olympics, or actually sixth Olympics, that the women's hockey have been playing since 1998 in Nagano. The U.S. obviously won the first one. Canada's won the last four prior to this year. And we all know, you know, obviously it's been a U.S.-Canadian final every year. You know, there are other good women's teams. Sweden's had decent teams. Russia's had decent teams. Finland's got decent teams. But obviously Canada and the U.S. are so far ahead of the rest of the field. You know, and it showed by, obviously, the results. I started to watch the game on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, and I fell asleep. And for whatever reason, TV's on when, you know, my wife and I went to sleep. And all of a sudden, I think Kenny Albert must have said something, and it got loud or something. And I woke up. And it was the middle of the second period. And I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot about the game. And I will tell you that I have never, ever, even, you know, I have trouble staying up for some Islander games that are on 11 o'clock. I was glued. My eyeballs, like, I wasn't blinking. It was so bad. It was probably, and I will honestly say, I would say that was probably one of the most exciting games I've seen in 30 years. It was amazing. Two things I take out of it. Number one, I feel bad for the fact that a gold medal game or any type of a playoff kind of game is ended on a shootout.
Yeah, that's kind of...
I know the World Cup ended on one. Soccer World Cup ended on a shootout, on a penalty kick game. And quoting the words of Howie Rose, you know, you hate to end something on a skills contest.
Right.
I get it in the regular season of the NHL. I have no problem with it. It's exciting. The fans love it. I think that's okay because it's only bearing 2 points. Yeah, obviously, if you get to April 6th and you're battling for a playoff spot, it's a little tougher, but it's still not as bad. But when you have to end a tournament or end a season or end an Olympic gold medal on whether you can get slide a puck past a goaltender like that. That is tough to swallow.
Yeah, it's a little disheartening.
Obviously, being for the Americans, it was Jocelyn Lamoureux's unbelievable deke move past, I forget the girl's first name, Sabados, the Canadian goaltender, was incredible. That was a Matthew Barzal, any type of shootout, unbelievable NHL quality move, grade 1A. And that obviously turned out to be the game winner. The U.S. goaltender, I forget her last name, but she was 20, Murray, I think is her last name, 20 years old. You know, biggest situation in her life, has to make an incredible save on the Canadian goaltender. And basically the puck ended up sitting about maybe 4 inches from the line, and she basically took her hand and pushed it away. And with that note, obviously the gold medal was won. You know, that's so big. It's bittersweet. It's great to see them win, but obviously, you know, no matter who you are, it's tough to see a team lose by that.
Right.
And the point I'm getting to, obviously, is the medal presentation. And I think because of a lot of the other Olympic sports, their medal presentations are usually later the night instead of that right away. Like, you know, usually the events in the morning, they have the medal presentation in the downtown center or whatever, like that evening. So obviously hours have gone by. And in this case, it was only 15, 20, 30 minutes went by after the last goal. Jocelyn Larocq, one of the Canadian defensemen, won in 2014. So she's been on the team for a number of years. Obviously have lost to the Americans in world championships. But as soon as, literally within seconds after the medal going over her neck, she immediately took it off. At the time, and I would say probably within that day after it happened, I put a post on my Facebook page to the article, and I said, okay, what do you think? I felt really horrible. I was not angry, but I was disappointed to see an athlete do that. To me, that's disrespectful, especially when every one of her teammates had the medal on them when the... You know, when they were done and the Americans got their gold medals and the Star Spangled Banner came up, she held her medal in her hand. And she obviously apologized afterwards, you know, saying, you know, at the moment I was disappointed and the emotions got the better of me. I understand that. But you know what? Sometimes, you know, she's been there before. She's been in world championships before. She's been in Olympics before. She should know better.
Yeah, you got to. I mean, I get it. It's, you know, emotion, passion, and it shows you that she's a competitor. And you know, you got to kind of look at it from her perspective. But, you know, the fact that she had this experience for several years, I mean, you got to be a professional. And, you know, it's not the greatest feeling. You know, you wanted to win gold, obviously, for your country. But you got to think. You got to think before you act sometimes in a situation like that. And I'm not going to badmouth her because
No, I'm not. Because I read the articles afterwards, and she definitely showed remorse.
And that's great. I'm glad she did.
It's tough, but you know what? That's an image that's going to...
Right. Unfortunately, that's something that's going to be there. It's going to be out there, and that's going to be, you know, the highlights in the future and you know, in the 2022 Olympics, they're going to show that.
Yep. It'll be shown again and again and again, and it's unfortunate, but I will say that game will forever be etched in my mind, kind of like watching the 80 game. I mean, do you remember watching the 80 game?
Yeah, it still sticks out.
38 years from
now,
it's amazing how everything just comes all back into play, and it was obviously the 38th anniversary of the Mike Ruzzioni goal. In 1980 that the women won that incredible game on Wednesday morning. And funny that right around that time, there was an article that came out that Mike Ruzzioni's stick that he used to score the game-winning goal against the Russians went on auction and was sold for $295,000.
Wow.
$295 for a piece of wood.
I hope it went to a charity or something.
You would hope it would. I mean, that would be that. That's That's just absolutely incredible. Couple of things. Obviously, we can go back to the Rangers situation. Obviously, tonight in the at the Garden, they are honoring the great New York Rangers center of the 1970s, Jean Rattel, by retiring number 19. Obviously, growing up in the late 60s and early 70s, before the Islanders were even a gleam in anybody's memory, I remember the gag line of Roger Gilbert, Vic Hadfield, and Jean Rattel playing for the Rangers. And I always remember the way that Jean Rattel played the game, a tremendous center, a great playmaker. And my dad used to, you know, or there was comments during the games, but my dad would always say that he was a class guy. And, you know, I applaud the Rangers for honoring him. Unfortunately, I will say, in my opinion, it was probably 20 to 30 years overdue. You know, he was one of the best players to not win a Stanley Cup, you know, over 1,000 points. You know, just a tremendous athlete and tremendous human being, you know. You know, from what I can tell and from the stories I've read, I put him in the same, almost the same category of a Beliveau, you know, especially a Québécois, you know, who was just such a class guy, right, and a great human being. And, you know, unfortunately never got a chance to hoist Lloyd Stanley like Jean Beliveau did 9 times. But, you know, definitely an honor overdue. And by the way, the Rangers are in the second period, and I just saw that Detroit just scored again, so the Rangers are now up 2-0 over the Detroit are up 2-0 over the Rangers. Just looking real quick to see if who is in net. Oh, Lundqvist is in net tonight. I know he didn't play the last two games, and he's playing tonight. Very interesting, obviously, situation. Spooner is playing for the Bruins, for the Rangers. Bolesky's not, but be interesting to see any more moves that the Rangers do before the trade deadline. I know Zuccarello's had talk.
Yeah,
you know, there's
McDonough
been talk about him.
Talk,
Ryan McDonough's major
JT
talk.
JT Miller.
Yeah, there's a lot of. I mean, you know, the only situation or the only problem on the Rangers side that you would think of is obviously they're looking to retool for the future. But right now, as it stands, their minor league system is a shambles. Hartford's not doing well at all. I don't think they've got anybody that's ready to come up. So, you know, it just makes you wonder, you know, what they can do. You know, obviously, you know, they say they want to get younger. They say they want to do, but I just wonder what's going to happen
right,
July 1st.
Right, and it's just the team, you know, some Ranger fans I've spoken to, I guess, had a little bit of a delusional belief in how good they thought this team was going to be this season. And they were like, well, why don't we just keep it together? They'd make the playoffs. They might surprise you. And, well, I guess ownership didn't feel that way.
No, they, you know, it's for them, it's surprising that, you know, that they're going that direction. You know, they've always seemed to, go get the sexy free. You know, obviously, you know, they did that. They did cut down during the strike era and built the team up from youth and did a very good job at it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Derek would be able to tell you.
Derek would tell us more. Exactly. You know, I mean, you know, obviously he made comments during the season. He really thought that this team would go far. And, you know, obviously situations happen. They had some injuries that hurt them. You know, they had some trouble on the back line, and it just didn't pan out. I mean, you know, thank God for Henrik Lundqvist, because he really saved their bacon.
Yeah, I mean, if he wasn't as good as he's been,
he stole
a future Hall of Famer, and you know, and he's always there for them.
That's very well said. I mean, you know, and the part that's troubling is that, you know, in the past few years they've had quality, credible backups, you know, in Ronta
and
for Edmonton.
I can't think of his name.
I know, me too. I'm drawing blanks. But, right, but they've had great backups, and they've gone on, and they've moved on.
Talbot.
Yeah, Ken Talbot, right. So they've had good stuff, but they don't have anybody in the wings. They do have a Russian kid playing in the K that's probably, you know, not with the same stats as Sorokin does, but it's close. So that's something that you look to for the future. But it's interesting seeing that right now, if you would have told me that on February 25th, 2018, that the New Jersey Devils would have the best record of all three Metro teams.
I would have told
not against each other, by the way, mind you. I think we do. I think the Islanders have the best record between the three against each other. So, you know, being the fact that we beat the Rangers 3-3, I think that's helped.
Right.
But, but you look at the Devils, and it's just a great story of what they've done. You know, with a team that doesn't have the sexy names on the roster, they've done great things, excellent job by their scouting and coaching staff. And we should say, obviously, congratulations to Patrick Elias for the retirement of number 26.
Classy guys, very good human beings.
Exactly.
There you go.
He is definitely one of the best. I think we'll go take a break here. And when we come back, we will have Brad Kurtzberg from the Hockey Writers join us in the next half hour to talk more about the hockey situation and get his take on the New York sports side. So 1 hour in the books, John, 1 hour to go. Gary and John, Sports Talk 1240. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.